We've already heard the theme verse from Gems earlier in the service, but I invite you to take your Bible and turn to John 15, and we'll hear that section of Scripture again. We've been in John for a while, but we're just jumping slightly ahead by a few chapters to John 15. I think you probably know the context of John 15. It's the Last Supper. It's the final meal. It's the Thursday night that Jesus has with his disciples before his arrest and trial and execution. He's speaking with them, and he's speaking tenderly words of love and instruction. So John 15, and I'm going to start in verse 12. I'm going to just read that whole paragraph, John 15 and verses 12 to 17. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. And you are my friends, if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, so that you will love one another. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray together and ask the Lord for help. Holy Father, once again we come before your word with fear and trembling, with humility in our hearts. We yield to the authority of your holy scriptures, and we pray that you would use them to instruct our hearts, to grow our affection for you, to shape us into the men and women and young people that you've called and redeemed us to be. I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. So, friendship with Jesus, that's what the GEMS ministry is focusing on this year. That is one of the best gifts that God has given us. And so it's important for us to understand the privilege and the blessing and the responsibility of what it means to have been made friends with Jesus, to be friends of Jesus. So it's important for us right at the outset to define what it means to be friends with someone. What is friendship? So friendship involves mutuality, right? You can't be friends with someone if you don't know them. You can't be friends with a historical figure, even if you know a whole lot about that historical figure. If you've never met that person, you can't be friends with that person. That's not a relationship if you haven't met them. To be in a friendship with someone means that you have a healthy, friendly relationship with that person, right? So just because you're friends with someone on Facebook, and I know that kids don't use Facebook anymore. That's more of an older person's thing. So if you're friends on Instagram or on Snapchat or whatever thing that you use, that doesn't necessarily mean that you have a real relationship, right? My kids always tease me because I follow Lionel Messi on Instagram. For those of you who don't know, Lionel Messi is the greatest soccer player of all time. And he lives in Spain, and he plays for Barcelona, and he currently has 183 million followers, of which I am one. And whenever he posts something, I always brag to my kids that I got a message from Lionel Messi. And then they laugh at me. And they say, yeah, well, he sent that same message to 183 million other people, and that message was in Spanish, and you didn't even speak Spanish. And I say, yeah, but we're friends. We're friends on Instagram. And they say, well, why don't you send him a message and see if he responds? See, Dad, you're following him, but he's not following you. Kids can be so cruel, hey? So the sad reality, I hate to admit this to them, is that I'm not friends with Lionel Messi. I don't have a relationship with him. I might admire him. I might follow him on Instagram, but he never thinks about or interacts personally with me. So the Bible says that we have a real relationship, a real friendship, that's the word the Bible uses, with Jesus. Now, what does that mean? How is it possible that we have a friendship with Jesus since he lived 2,000 years ago and he's the Son of God and we live right now and we're just us? That's what we need to figure out. It's one thing to say that we're friends with Jesus. It's quite another thing to say what that means and to really experience our friendship with Jesus and to be good friends to Jesus, right? Because it's not just that he's our friend. If we have a real relationship, then we're his friends. So how does that work? Are you actually a good friend to Jesus? How would you know? What does that even mean? That's what our passage in Scripture can help us to understand this morning. What does it mean to be a friend of Jesus? So from our passage, we're going to look at three aspects of our friendship with Jesus. First, the foundation of our friendship with Jesus begins with him inviting us to be his friends. He's the initiator of our friendship. It says that in verse 16 that I read. It says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you." Right? That's good news because that means that our friendship with Jesus is secure. Maybe you know what it feels like to lose someone's friendship. That's really painful, isn't it? Have you been through that? It hurts. Right? For whatever reason, a person decides that they don't like you anymore, that they don't want to be your friend anymore. That is painful. That's one of the most painful things that can happen to you, to lose a friend. I remember I was in grade 4, and I had a group of friends that we were tight. There was like 5 of us, and we were tight friends. One day I came to school, I just showed up at school, and I discovered that the other 4 had decided they didn't want to be my friend anymore. They were sick of me. And they actually moved their desks away from me, and I was just left all alone there in the back sitting at my desk. And I wasn't sure why they decided that, but they just decided it, and I was surprised, and I was hurt. And I remember every day that week, I would come home from school, and I would just cry to my mom because I was so sad. Now, when you're in grade 4, those kinds of things, like, it doesn't take much for that to happen, and those kind of things tend to blow over pretty quickly, and by next week, they were all my friends again. I don't know what changed or what happened, but those kind of hurts, they never go away. That was more than 3 decades ago, and I'm still talking about it. I still remember it. And not only do I remember it, but it still makes me a little bit hesitant, even today, as a grown man, to make new friends because I remember how bad it felt to be rejected by my friends. And if you're going to become friends with someone, you're going to make yourself vulnerable because you might get rejected by them. It's a little safer to just not make friends. Maybe you know what that feels like. Maybe you're going through a hard time right now with some of your friends. It hurts. You know that it hurts. Or maybe things are okay right now with your friends, but maybe you're a little nervous that for some reason at some point your friends might reject you. Maybe you worry about that. It's not just kids that go through that. Adults sometimes feel insecure about their friendships too. Or maybe right now, you just feel alone. You feel like you don't have any friends. You're not worried about losing your friends. You feel like, I don't even have any friends. Well, here's the good news. Jesus is inviting you. He's calling you into friendship with him. And he's taking the initiative. He's calling you just as you are right now. And he knew everything about you before he called you to be his friend, right? That means he's not going to be shocked or surprised when he finds out all the details about who you are. And you can be sure because of that, that he's never going to reject you. He's never going to get sick of you. He's never going to move his desk away from you one morning when you show up for school. He's never going to say, "Whoa, I did not realize that you were like that. I had no idea that you struggled with that." He'll never do that, never. Never will he say that to you. He knows it already. He already knows everything about you, and he still called you into a loving friendship with himself, and so that you can be sure he's not going to reject you. Now that is security. Okay, but I said a friendship involves mutuality, right? It's a relationship, a mutual relationship. So Jesus initiates, he calls us, but what's our role? What do we do? Well, we respond to that call by following, right? Remember the context of this meal, right, where Jesus is saying these things. This is the final meal that he's having before he's arrested and crucified. And when he says to the people that he's eating with, "You didn't choose me, but I chose you," they would have been able to remember the first time that they heard his voice, right? They would have remembered the moment when they heard the voice of the Son of God saying to them, "Follow me." And when they decided to leave everything behind and to follow him and to begin the journey of a lifetime of discipleship. And the same is true for us. Right? He speaks those same words to each one of us. "Follow me." He invites us to walk with him through our lives, to follow him on the path of discipleship and obedience. And it's our responsibility to respond to that call and to follow him. And the good news is that he will never leave us. He will never forsake us. He will never reject us. Even if we stumble, even if we get lost along the way, he won't leave us. All right, so that's the foundation of our friendship with Jesus. It's a secure friendship because he initiates by calling us and we respond by following. That's how this friendship begins. The way the friendship is maintained is through loving and open communication. You don't have a relationship without communication. Right? This is exactly why Lionel Messi is not my friend. I'm following him, but he's not following me. Right? I could send him a message today about the goal he scored yesterday. He's definitely not going to send me a message today about this sermon. He doesn't care about this sermon. So listen to what Jesus says in the Gems theme verse about our friendship. Jesus says, "No longer have I called you servants, for a servant does not know what her master is doing. But I have called you friends because," here's why I call you friends, "because all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you." Right? The reason that it's meaningful for Jesus to call us friends is because he speaks to us. He communicates with us. He makes known to us the things that he has heard from his Father. Again, remember the context. Jesus is speaking with a group of people with whom he has been living for the past 3 years, right? During that time, he has been communicating with them. He's been speaking with them. He has been explaining to them the things that he has learned from his Father in heaven. Communication is necessary for a real relationship. So does Jesus continue to speak today? We know that he does. And primarily, Jesus speaks to us today through his word, through the scriptures, through the Bible. The people that knew him personally and heard what he had to say, they wrote those things down. And they got preserved, recorded. And now we can read them in the Bible. And when we read them, it is as if he is speaking those things directly to our hearts. Right? The Bible's not a regular book. It's not a normal book. It's living and active. And when we read the words of Christ, they resonate in our hearts. And it's as if he's speaking right to us. And also, he speaks to us through his creation. Right? This is what's known as general revelation. God's creation speaks to us, and when we look and listen to his creation, it helps us to know who he is and what he's like. And then there's also the Holy Spirit who lives in us and who confirms the things that we hear in the Bible and that we see in creation. So Jesus speaks to us today in all kinds of ways, but remember, we keep saying that a friendship is mutual, right? It's a mutual relationship. And if this is a real relationship, then the communication has to run both ways, right? What if you knew someone and you spoke to them all the time, but they never spoke back to you? You wouldn't call that person a friend, would you? What if you had a pen pal and you wrote to that person all the time and they never wrote back? That's not a pal. There's no friendship there. So how do we write Jesus back? How do we respond to his communication with us? Well, the gems know this. It's through prayer, right? That's how we speak back to God. Prayer is a gift. Prayer is a promise from Jesus that when we speak to him, he's listening. Right? One of my biggest pet peeves is when people interrupt. I hate it because if someone interrupts me, it tells me they're not listening to me. They don't care what I think. They don't care what I'm saying. Right? They think that whatever they have to say is more important than what I'm saying, and so they interrupt to say their thing, and it hurts. But Jesus isn't like that. He actually thinks that what we have to say is important. He wants us to talk to him. That's amazing. Why don't we do it more? Why don't we tell him everything? It makes no sense to call Jesus your friend and never speak to him. The gift of listening is one of the greatest gifts that we can give each other, because when we listen to someone, what we're saying to that person is, I value you. What you think matters to me. I want to know what's on your mind and what's on your heart. That's how Jesus feels about us. And we honor our friendship with him when we listen to him and when we speak back to him. All right, so our friendship with Jesus is secure. We don't have to worry about him unfriending us because it was initiated by his call, and then we responded to that call by following him. And our friendship with Jesus is maintained, and it grows, and it deepens through communication. He speaks to us through his word, through his creation, and by his spirit, and we speak back to him through our prayers. Finally, our friendship with Jesus involves mutual service. We serve him, and he serves us. Friends do things for each other. Friends serve each other. So verse 14, which is the one just right before the theme verse for this year, it contains the word if in that verse. Now, whenever you see the word if in the Bible, you can always picture the word if like a little hinge, right? A hinge is a tiny little thing, but upon a hinge can swing a massive door. Just a little hinge can hold up and swing a massive door. If is like a little hinge word in the Bible, and upon the word if in verse 14 swings a massive theological door. Jesus says, you are my friends if. All right, if what? We're your friends if what? What's the if? What is the if that will define our friendship with Jesus? You are my friends if you do what I commanded you. That's an important if. You are my friends if you do that which I have commanded you. Friendship with Jesus doesn't just exist in words. In fact, no friendship exists just in words. If it's just words, you don't have a friendship. Friendship exists in actions, in what we do. Right? If I was constantly just talking about what great friends we are, right? We're awesome friends. We love each other. We have such a wonderful friendship. But I never did anything with you or for you. that would indicate that we're not friends. Those are just words then. Right? If you come to me and you ask for help, and I say, oh, I'm busy right now, don't bother me. And if that happens over and over and over and over again, eventually you will come to the conclusion that, well, actually we're not friends after all. Despite the words that he speaks, despite that he talks about us being friends, we must not be friends because we never do anything together. And he never helps out when I need help. Well, that's how it is with us and Jesus. We can talk about our friendship with Jesus all we want. But if our actions don't demonstrate the truth of those words, then we don't have a friendship. Later in the same passage, Jesus says, I appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide. Well, what does that mean? It means that when we do what he commanded that we do, that good things will happen and those good things will last. The fruit will abide. That means that if we're going to be friends with Jesus, we're going to have to love our neighbors as ourselves because he commanded us to do that. And he said, you're my friends if you do what I commanded you. So when he commands us, love your neighbors as yourself, well, if we're going to be his friends, we're going to have to do that. We're going to have to obey that. That means we're going to have to love people who annoy us. We're going to have to love people who frustrate us. We're going to have to love people who disagree with us. And we're even going to have to love people who don't love us back. Because Jesus commanded us to love our enemies. And if we're going to be his friends, we have to do what he commanded. To do what he commands means that we will care for the poor. We will visit the sick. We will remember those who are in prison. We will be advocates for the oppressed. We will speak the truth. We will speak kindly to one another. We will worship the Lord with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. He commanded all of those things and lots more things in the Bible. And he's talking about those commands when he says, you are my friends if you do what I have commanded you to do. You cannot be friends with Jesus in words only. You have to live out your friendship in your life by your actions. Now, does doing those things make us friends with Jesus? No, remember point one. He chose us. He called us. He made us his friends, not because of what we've done, but simply because he loves us. But we demonstrate that friendship, we live out that friendship by a life of obedience to his commandments. Okay, but I keep saying that friendship is a mutual thing. It goes both ways. So how does that work for this point? If we serve him, okay, we serve him by obeying that which he's commanded us to do. How does he serve us? Well, Jesus himself said that the reason that he came to earth was to serve. He said that. He said it like this. He said, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. He serves us by giving his life for us, by dying on the cross to pay for our sins, to ransom us from death, to give us eternal life. And then he invites us to give our lives by following him on the path of obedience. That's what it means that Jesus is our friend and that we are his friend. It's a real mutual relationship. It's not an equal relationship, right? He's God and we're not. We worship him. He doesn't worship us. But it's a real relationship. It begins with a call, an invitation to friendship from Jesus. We respond to that call by leaving everything behind and following him. It grows through communication. He speaks to us through his word, through his creation, by his spirit. We speak back to him through our prayers, and it gets lived out every day through mutually serving one another. He served us by giving his life for us, and we serve him by living for him and doing that which he has commanded us. That friendship is the foundation of our lives. You might lose everything else in your life, but you cannot ever lose that, and no one can take it away from you. You might sometimes feel alone, but you will never be alone if you have a friendship with Jesus. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, you honored us so much by using that word in relation to your disciples, to us, your followers, calling us friends. That's an amazing thing. And so I pray for the girls who are a part of the GEMS ministry, and I pray for all of us that we would recognize the treasure, the gift that you've given us in extending friendship to us. Thank you that you initiated that, and therefore it is secure, and we don't need to worry about losing your friendship. And I pray that we would respond to that call by following you. Thank you that you invite us into communication with you by speaking to us through your word, your creation, by your spirit. I pray that we would respond to you faithfully by speaking back and communicating through prayer. And thank you that you have come to serve us, that you laid down your life that we might live. And I pray that we would respond by obeying you, by doing that which you have commanded us to do. I pray that we would deepen in our friendship with you, that we would find security, comfort, and peace in our friendship with you. I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.